little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
So the two things, the sort of time management, well, and that's linked to the too many questions in, yeah? But there's also time efficient, effective psychological, social and occupational history, isn't there? I mean, I didn't have a specific exercise in mind here, but it's clearly an area where if we could have a bit of a think about it and then someone could try something out for us, that would be helpful, wouldn't it?
I think it's a common theme that people come back to in that ST1s and early consultants seem to be a bit clunky with the way that they ask about the psychosocial issues that are going on.
Yeah.
And making those connections with what's going on in with their health. I think that would be universally something that could be worked on. So,
yeah.
Well, to bring it up. Yeah. It's not artificial, like.
Yeah, so it's not artificial. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's definitely the sort of thing we can practice, isn't it? Well, there's two things there. I'll sit down, and we can have a think. Well, Zia, since you've mentioned it, have you got any thoughts about how you might bring that?
So, because occasionally I forget actually to ask about it, unless I feel like, unless the patient bring it up or. That I feel that it's relevant.
Yeah.
But then I've learned, like, for many reasons, it's very important, like, to ask about. So, because if there's, like, any hidden things or hidden causes for the problem, actually. So it's very good to build the rapport. So even if it's not very related to the complaint, mm-hmm. it's very good for the rapport. So if you say, like, this person is a teacher, for example.
Yeah.
So next time, like, oh, how's the school holidays?
Yes.
Oh, how's that?
Yes.
And it's very, I found, like, very effective, very good. And the patient will appreciate that. And they feel like, oh, you take an interest in my case.
Yeah.
And yeah. So even if they, you know, didn't help them this consultation, it will help build the rapport.
No, please.
I've also got another example. Do you remember when we've had this scenario? About a patient, it was part of the consultation, who actually came in with a history of dizziness, and then he turned out to be a school bus driver.
Yeah.
And the actor was trying to give me those hints.
Yeah.
You know, and I've completely forgot to ask about his PSO, which is quite relevant. And at the end, he threw. So am I going back? You know, he kind of threw, you know, the statement.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to go back and try the children?
Yeah.
And then, so I thought if I've just picked up that quite early, then I would know at least how is this going to impact.
Well, I think that's right. Sorry, go ahead, Keith.
I think you've hit the nail on the head with the link between the impact of the problem
to
their life.
Yes. Or whatever.
So occupation and life, isn't it, really? And that's the time when it's best.
Yes.
But it's nice to have a form of words to actually discuss that, isn't it?
I think that's the key, isn't it? Essentially, I think we're talking about another signpost here, aren't we? That you want to signpost to the patient that you'd like to make an inquiry under the PSO heading, but not use that precise phrase.
Yes. I think I've got a few ways of approaching it. Could I share that with the group? One of the things that I found really helpful, and I think certainly for the purposes of the exam and generally for keeping to time and keeping structure, if you always go through, personally, I know it's not meant to be a rigid structure and you can sort of put things in at different points, but I found certainly for the exam, sticking to ICE PSO or bringing it back to ICE PSO is a really good way of not missing anything.
I would agree.
For example, if you're getting a consultation where somebody's coming in for results, and naturally it's not the same as a different consultation where you're starting with a new complaint. So one of the things I might do is say, ask them a little bit about what's led to you having these tests, etc. But then I might say something like, the first time we're meeting, it'd be really helpful for me to get a little bit of information about who you are and about your background. So is it okay if I ask you some questions about who's at home with you, you know, what do you do for a job, that sort of thing. Another way might be, if you're particularly thinking about sort of lifestyle things, saying to somebody, say their presenting complaint is stress or something like that, then saying, well, sometimes when people are feeling stressed, they might turn to certain things to help them cope, such as smoking, alcohol, drugs. Can I just check, is that anything that you've ever sort of used as a coping
mechanism? No, that's
my
job. Yes,
yeah.
It's a really subtle way of bringing it up, isn't it?
In my case, it's heroin, but, you know.
Exactly. Or even just after you've done ice, just saying an open statement like, how is this affecting you? How is it affecting you at home or at work? And that usually opens up quite a lot of information.
That link works well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think my feeling is that for the purposes of ensuring it happens every time, the very first example of that, where you explicitly sort of signpost a phase of questioning, might be the tool that's most likely to guarantee that people developing this skill employ it consistently. Do you fancy demonstrating? Could you demonstrate that one for us with someone being your patient, and then sort of. Someone else, anyone else who wants to, can you do it first, and then someone can have a go at it, yeah?
Okay, sure.
Is that right? So everyone's going to be the doctor. We need a patient. What about
the bus driver, you mean?
The Disney bus driver.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you happy to be, and you're essentially the same, do you want to, you've asked a few questions now. So do you want to sort of
go into?
Well, I think put her on hold with a slight, you know, recap of the, you know. So you've mentioned A, B, C, D, and E with the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Is it all right if I now ask you you know, that sort of transition? But imagine you've heard some history. You might still have some history to take, but you've had a good first stab at the history,
mm-hmm.
and you've decided PSO is a good time for this, yeah?
Okay.
Is that?
Yeah.
And essentially, I think we're just asking you, just you know.
What,
You do, I don't think you need to try and hear. We want to kind of see it in context, because it sounded, I don't know about the rest of you, it sounded good to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more a question of seeing it in context, yeah?
Okay. Have you got a name in mind?
John.
Okay, John. So because it's the first time we've met today, it would be really helpful for me to find out a little bit more about your background, a bit more about who you are and what you do. So would that be okay if I ask you some questions about that?
Yeah, sure, doctor. Yeah.
Great. So first of all, can you just tell me who's at home with you?
Oh, it's just my wife and two kids.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. And how have your symptoms been affecting you at home?
I'm finding it difficult to sort of, you know, take my kids out often and things like that, because I do feel dizzy. I can't carry the little one. I do get dizzy and things like that.
So it's having quite an impact on everyday life.
Yeah.
And can I ask, do you work at all?
Yes, I do work.
What do you do?
I'm a school bus driver, actually.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So how have your symptoms been affecting work? Have they been having an impact?
Sometimes, doctor. Sometimes I have to stop the bus, you know, in the side and sort of, you know, take a break for a few minutes and then start again when I get these dizzy spells.
Right. So you are getting the dizzy spells when you're at work as well.
Yeah.
That's quite concerning, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how have you been feeling about all of this? Has it affected your mood at all?
No, I just want to get to the bottom of it, really, doctor. I don't know why I'm feeling these dizzy spells and things like that. So,
Okay. And also, sometimes when people are having dizziness, there could be other things in their lifestyle that might be affecting their symptoms. So would it be okay if I ask you a few questions about your lifestyle?
Sure. Yeah.
Can I check, do you smoke at all?
No, I've never smoked, doctor.
That's great. And do you drink any alcohol?
Oh, just occasionally.
Just
on the weekends, yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
And any recreational drugs?
No, doctor. No.
And also just a little bit about your sort of lifestyle generally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get any exercise?
Oh, I've no time, doctor. I'm just busy with work and kids and things like that. So
And how would you say things are with your diet?
Just, you know, because I'm quite busy with work, I just try to grab something,
just
whatever
grab
I can get,
and
then go ahead.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, thanks. That's really helpful to me.
Fantastic. Yeah.
We've tried to cover
everything,
PSO.
Really. Yeah, it's nice.
Well, yes.
It may not always be relevant to cover.
No,
yeah.
Exactly. But I think the whole point about this was that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, potentially is in this situation. It's a pretty high stakes thing going on here.
Yes.
Anyway, it was a very helpful word example. Yes. So, just we'll do the debrief again, just so you know what you were doing and how well you felt it went. Then we'll see what it was like on the receiving end, and then we'll just open to the group.
I thought it went reasonably well. I managed to get a sense of how the symptoms were impacting John in various aspects of his life, which was the whole point. And I managed to gather some useful information. Obviously, occupation there's a huge one. Because he's got a responsible job, and it sounds as if that's going to impact on it. I thought it went reasonably well. I felt it flowed quite comfortably.
Yeah, even I felt it flew quite well. I mean, she signposted quite well, so I knew that, you know, okay, she's having an interest in my life, and it looked like she was concerned about me. She was concerned about my symptoms. She sort of inquired how I felt and, you know, how I was managing. So it was quite nice. I felt as well.
And the signpost was, you know, efficient and clear. Just run that by us again. What's your signposting phrase?
I think it was something like, it's the first time we're meeting, so it'd be helpful to get a little bit of information about yourself and your background. About your lifestyle.
Self-background and lifestyle,
And then again, when you ask about the smoking. You see, like, some people will have some.
Yes, I've written that the phrase. You've mentioned there. You know, sometimes that there, anything in your lifestyle that would, you know, some people. Anything in their lifestyle that would affect them, which is basically you've kind of pointed out about. You know, cigarettes and stuff.
Okay, well, I mean, my thinking is, I mean, someone else could have a go at that. Yeah, someone else could have a go at that if they want, and just experiment with. Good man, go on. All right, so we'll leave the patient there. Good job. If you like what you saw, there's no reason at all why you shouldn't do it exactly the same. This is, you know, this won't be the settled answer to, you know, once you've done this sort of thing 20, 30 times in real consultations, some, you know, you're bound to vary it a bit, but there's no reason. I mean, you can handle it differently if you want, but you've got permission to do it exactly like you've seen it done, if that feels what you want to try the first time, or vary it in any way that you want.
Thank you for opening up and telling me all about your symptoms. I'm just wondering if it's those symptoms start affecting your life. So I want to ask you some specific questions about your job and how's it's affecting you at home.
Okay.
What do you do for
living? I work as a bus driver doctor, actually, for the school.
Okay. Did this, like, dizziness affect you at all?
Now that you mention it, Doctor, yes, at times I do feel these dizzy spells come along, and I have to, you know, stop the bus in the side and just sort of take time and then drive again. So it has been happening, Doctor, yes.
We'll touch on that point in a minute, okay? What about at home, like, who do you live with at home?
Well, I've got my wife and two kids at home, occasionally it's difficult for me to, you know, sort of, you know, play for long times with my kids, difficult for me to carry them. I do feel get these dizzy spells often and things like that. So, yes, I would say that it is affecting my life, Doctor.
And some people with dizziness, they have things in their lifestyle that affecting or causing the dizziness, actually.
Okay.
So, I want to ask you, like, do you smoke?
No, Doctor, I don't smoke.
Okay, and what about, do you drink any alcohol?
Oh, just occasionally, Doctor.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, very good. So, usual story's out. Tell us what you were, you know, what you were trying and how you felt it went, and we'll find out. We'll go around.
I think it's not as good as
well. You haven't done it as much.
I was trying, like, to make the patient talk more, or like have like an open question, because sometimes they will mention everything. They will say, like, it affected me, like, at home and then at work, and sometimes they will come up with their agenda, actually, or with their expectation. Because at the beginning, if you say, like, what do you want, then they actually want the fitness, for example. But then if you ask again, like they might
yeah,
say,
that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Sometimes I find it like I have to be direct and ask about like smoking and
well,
I think
very often with things like smoking and drinking, you know, often only does come with a specific direct inquiry, doesn't it? So
I remember an example. Do you remember Marina had this? Basically, in the PSO, if you wanted to kind of check about STIs and you wanted to know if there are any other partners,
yeah,
how do you get around this?
Yeah.
How do you phrase it in
yeah.
a way that wouldn't humiliate the patient
yeah.
and
yeah.
wouldn't put you both in an awkward position?
Yeah.
So, how would
do you not? Okay.
I've tried to do it somewhere. We've had this.
Yeah, we've practiced scenarios, and usually what we say is things like, I'm going to ask you some really personal and sensitive questions just to make sure that I'm not missing anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you just sort of again signposting, I think, really, and then
yes.
getting into
well,
it.
Well, a common suggestion for the sexual history is also to signpost the routine nature of it in relation to this case. So I'm going to ask you some questions now. They are routine in a case like yours, although one or two of them are a bit sensitive.
Okay.
Yeah? And then the patient doesn't think they're being singled. They know they're not being singled out.
Mm. I guess you could use my friend John's statement in that. Can't you? You could just say patients that present with the symptoms that you're presenting with, you know, we often have to check certain things, and if it's okay, I'd like to ask you those questions and just make it really generic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that helpful, that description there?
Yeah.
I think I might ask you to just one more time, just practice the initial signposting in again, because rather like, you know, when you're doing it rather like we saw...
Iran.
Yeah, sorry, Iran.
It's all
right. You know, the second time she was a bit more fluent, and I'm sure the same will happen here, and I think you might find it beneficial. So just the signpost, you know, thanks for telling me about your symptoms so far, and then the signpost, and then stop. Maybe get one word response, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's tennis, you know, you're practicing one shot, and maybe seeing if it comes back over net, and then we're done.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. John, for telling me about your symptoms. I would like to ask you more about your lifestyle and how those symptoms affected you.
Okay, doctor,
and
yes.
your lifestyle, because I know it's important to you at that point.
Yeah, yes, doctor.
That was more fluent,
yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. So it is worth doing that the second time, I think, just to start feeling how rapidly it starts to feel comfortable if you find it's... a successful strategy.
Mm.
So very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very good.
I think just practicing that
yeah.
In every day and picking up your own phrases so it
yes.
comes naturally to
yeah.
you. That's the best way, isn't it?
It works.
Well, you know, I think, and especially if you're trying to build it in, you know, clearly with the CSA in front of you still, the you know, having a transitional signpost for this and using it every time, you know, using it every time. I think you've probably. You know, have permission. I mean, patients aren't going to be offended if you try and find out a bit more about them.
No.
So it doesn't matter in the real world if you do it a tiny bit too often whilst you're practicing for the exam, does it? You know, as you say, in the odd case where, you know, you can see that if you're a GP of 10 years experience, you're probably not going to go down that route. But at this stage, being a bit more exhaustive, you know, it is generally the case if you've got a full scenario in the exam that this will be there'll be something in the script that this will flush out that is profitable for you. It may be not the case, but almost invariably is, yeah.
And it gives the impression that you're being quite holistic
quite,
as well.
That's right.
So.
Even if there's nothing in the script,
yeah.
how can it offend? As long as it doesn't derail. But you know, as long as it doesn't derail your time, I think there will be something in the script. So we've covered time efficient PSO. We've certainly seen, I think, a very thorough PSO done pretty quickly from Iran. Is that the general view?
Mm-hmm.
I signposted also because I need to speak about, you know, dizziness and driving. And then maybe I signposted to the, maybe when we talk about the plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it better to say, how is it affecting your job? Then
sometimes you can just say, how is it affecting you, and just hand it over to them if you want to be
yeah.
really open.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then you can hone in on certain areas as well.
I think that's
or how is it affecting your life?
Yeah.
Or your lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got that. Please go ahead.
I remember in my case, actually, my scenario went with the bus driver. When I had to tell him that he can't drive anymore, that was an issue. Because I think if I've kind of picked on the PSO right in the beginning and signposted him and informed him that there might be a potential that he might be, because they wouldn't expect that, you know, how would a dizziness affect my ability to drive? I'm okay now. So, and this is my job. How can you tell me not to drive? This is what I'm a taxi driver, or I'm a bus driver, or whatever. So, just like breaking a bad news to...
I think Ziad did that nicely, because he said something like, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Some sort of statement about it.
But I thought what you said as well was really nice, because when he said, oh, sometimes I get dizzy and have to stop, you said, okay, that's concerning. So it didn't raise alarm bells in the sense of panic, but I think it would have sat with the patient,
why is it concerning?
So that's really nice.
Little warning shot.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing.